This article is called Beyond a Resolution: Lutherans Consider How to Transform the Repudiation of the Doctrine of Discovery into an Active Document, written by J.N. Shimko. In 1494, the Spanish and Portuguese empires reached an agreement that split up the possession of the New World along a meridian near the Cape Verde Islands. Though ignored by most European nations at the time, the treaty became the legal foundation for the Doctrine of Discovery, which allowed European and later American nations to claim lands occupied by indigenous or other non-European non-Christian people as federal property. The Doctrine of Discovery laid the foundation for the U.S. among many other nations on the American continents, but it has meant heartache, disease, death, and loss of land for millions of indigenous people living as far north as Greenland and as far south as Chile and Argentina. The ELCA Churchwide Assembly formally repudiated the doctrine in 2016, citing the Augsburg Confession's prohibition against the improper mixing of the power of the church and the power of the sword, and laying out 7 objectives for the ELCA. Some were straightforward, such as stating repentance and seeking reconciliation with the many Native American nations throughout the U.S. Other objectives require more work and consideration, such as correcting the centuries-old colonial mindset that approved of seizing of land from indigenous peoples without any agreement or compensation. As the Church prepares for its 2022 assembly, a task force composed of American Indian Lutherans, Alaska Native Lutherans, and allies will determine the next most actionable steps the ELCA could take to further its repudiation of the doctrine. The Doctrine of Discovery began to crack the civil rights movement of the 1960s and 70s when white U.S. citizens began to examine the tragic histories of their non-white neighbors and question such ideas such as manifest destiny, which argued that God favored white settlement of North America. And during this period, the Lutheran Council in the USA partnered with members of the American Indian Movement to create the National Indian Lutheran Board, which raised funds, provided grants, and lobbied on behalf of Native Americans and Native American entities. But the group was disbanded with the founding of the ELCA and the disbanding of LCUSA. At that time, the ELCA hoped to take on the board's work, but the idea fell victim to the struggle of merging the ELCA's 3 predecessor bodies into one and navigating the new responsibilities of multicultural ministry. In the 1990s, the ELCA formally adopted a strategic plan and vision for indigenous people, creating the American Indian and Alaska Native Lutheran Association, but more needed to be done. A lot of people think that all we need to do is apologize and it's done, said Vance Black Fox, but a lot of Native American people need to heal. A member of the Cherokee Nation, Black Fox is ELCA Desk Director for American Indian Alaska Native Tribal Nations. Previously, he was part of the team that crafted the Church's Statement of Repudiation. Repudiation of the Doctrine of Discovery is, in my opinion, a movement. It's a part of a process. And that process continues with the new task force, which will discern what actions the Church needs to take to live up to the words approved by the Assembly in 2016. Co-chairs Marlene White Rabbit Helgemo, a member of the Ho-Chunk tribe in Wisconsin, and Jessica Christ, Bishop Emeritus of the Montana Synod, have created small groups to develop various actions in time for the 2022 Churchwide Assembly, as well as educational resources to shift the Church's teaching toward repudiation and reconciliation. Part of that is shifting people's ideas about land ownership and land acknowledgement. There are many Americans, especially Lutherans, whose ancestors arrived in the U.S. after the colonial expansion and Western migration, and who feel no culpability in stealing of the indigenous people's lands. But the doctrine of discovery has given us more than broken treaties and federal seizure of land. Everyone is to some degree hurt by the land theft, especially the Native Americans, said Guy Irwin, president of United Lutheran Seminary in Pennsylvania, and a member of the Osage Nation. Generations that followed were hurt by the rapacious capitalism of the late 19th and early 20th centuries, which encouraged Western settlement. We're all entangled in this, he added. My dad robs a bank of $2 million and dies a week later, handing me that $2 million, Black Fox imagined. If I don't turn it in, am I a criminal? It's a simplified example, but the concept is still there. That concept, he explained, is part of a larger effort to understand what it means for the entire nation to lose the land they've lived on for centuries. The loss of that land and the spiritual implications of losing it are traumatic. Centuries worth of ceremonies and rituals between the Creator and the created have been lost. Even as the task force searches for ways to move forward with repudiation, it's developing new initiatives in reconciliation. One current project involves the language used to describe both Lutheranism and Native Americans. Another is declaration to people of American Indian and Native Alaskan descent that at press time the task force had hoped to issue by Indigenous Peoples Day on October 11th. Crist said the declaration will be aimed at three audiences: Indigenous people outside the church, Indigenous members of the ELCA, and their non-Indigenous fellow worshipers. We confess to each of those, and we make a promise to each of those, she said. It's a stronger statement than we've ever made before, and I'm excited for it. Finally, the task force is developing a new publication, Luther's Small Catechism with a Native Perspective. Inspired by earlier Lutheran catechisms from Asian descent and African descent perspectives, the project is being overseen by Irwin, who has started asking Indigenous Lutherans to write interpretive reflections on sections of Martin Luther's work. He hopes to have the book finished in time for Indigenous Peoples Day in 2022. Ironically, this won't be the first time Native Americans contributed to the Small Catechism. Its first non-European translation was in the language of the Lenape tribe of Delaware.